This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time 12:05, middle of the week and middle of the month. It's Wednesday, May 16th. Good afternoon. I'm Regine Schlesinger.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. We have sunny skies. Expect to be about 80 degrees at O'Hare later today. Cooler at the lakefront, only 53 degrees this hour. We'll have the five-day forecast coming up.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank, and Wall Street's been picking up in its activity. Let's get the latest with Elisa Parenti.
That's right, Regine and Chris. The Dow up 79 points now, or a third of a percent. We're at 24,785. NASDAQ gaining 57 points, or three quarters of a percent. S&P adding 15 points, a gain of half a percent. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index higher by almost 1%. You remember yesterday, quarterly earnings from Home Depot had investors worried about the housing market. Home builder stocks were sharply lower. Today, some fresh concerns from the Commerce Department's housing starts. New work on single-family homes rose just a tenth of a percent last month. Groundbreakings on apartment buildings and other multifamily homes tumbled more than 11%. So that adds up to an overall 3.7% decline in April housing starts. As for future building permits, they slipped almost 2%. A reading on industrial production from the Fed finds manufacturers were busy in April. The strength in the factory sector is consistent with what we've seen in terms of a pickup in manufacturing jobs. And a better than expected quarterly performance by Macy's has its shares rallying more than 10%. Comp store sales rose 4.2% in the first quarter, and Macy's is raising its full-year earnings outlook. Back to you, Regine and Chris.
Thanks, Elisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, as you mentioned, home building is slowing down. At the same time, interest rates are picking up. What does that look like? And we continue our college series, this conversation all about financial aid.
And Amazon is offering a new perk to its Prime members. It's hoping one more reason that people might join up for Prime, and it involves Whole Foods.
Buy, sell, listen. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
This is day three of our annual Education Week focus on the WBBM Noon Business Hour. A little later, we're going to talk about financial aid. Right now, we're looking at new economic data, including a housing starts report that missed the mark. Joining us, Greg McBride, who's chief financial analyst at Bankrate.com in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. What's going on here, Greg?
Well, you know, housing continues to be the sector that can't get out of first gear. I mean, both starts, new homes being built, as well as permits for future building were down in March, and it was pretty widespread across much of the country. And you know, I think a lot of it's going to get chalked up to poor weather. You know, of course, April was the winter that wouldn't go away, as you very well know there in Chicago. So, you know, again, just another very disappointing result that kind of contradicts some of the strength that we're seeing in the other areas of the economy. As it pertains to the Midwest, the starts of new single-family homes were down, but permits for future building were up. So I think there's a little bit of encouragement in your backyard.
Interest rates seem to be heading upward. Is that going to be affecting the housing market as well?
Well, it's certainly not going to make anybody's life any easier, that's for sure. I mean, you know, you've seen the housing market's really been constrained by a lack of inventory, just not enough homes available for sale. Home sales have been pretty tepid because if it's not for sale, you can't buy it. And that's helped push prices up. And so buyers are really getting squeezed by affordability, not only from rising prices, but now the higher mortgage rates. I think, you know, the one positive is the economy is doing well. And when the economy is doing well, that's what gets people to buy houses eventually. But they need homes available for sale for them to be able to buy.
It cost me $50 yesterday to fill my tank. At what point do we see people start to cut back in other areas if the gas prices keep rising?
I think we're getting close in the sense that I think if we have a substantive move above $3 a gallon, if you're north of 3.25 or close to 3.50, I think that's where it starts to take a bite out of consumer spending power, because wage growth has just been so uninspiring. You know, people that are seeing their incomes increase, on average, it's every other year, not every year. So, you know, the increases in gasoline prices are, that's money that's going to get spent at the gas station, not going to get spent at the shopping mall.
Aside from housing, are we seeing any weakening in any other sectors of the economy?
Yeah, I think, you know, the other news is pretty strong. I mean, you know, the industrial production numbers that came out today, pretty strong result. A third consecutive monthly increase. That strength was pretty broad-based, and we saw it across manufacturing, utility, and mining output. So, you know, I think, and on top of that, we saw the using a greater level of capacity. So all of that, I think, really underscores what is a solid economic advance.
And are you worried at all, though, about any global economic features or threats to the economy here?
Well, I think we are at a bit of an inflection point this year, broadly, 2018 and into 2019, in that central banks are reversing course. The Federal Reserve has already raised short-term interest rates 6 times. They're downsizing their balance sheet. That's taking money out of the system. And you're going to see other central banks, Europe and Japan, doing similar things over the course of the next 18 to 24 months. So I think that's a longer-term risk factor, not something necessarily overnight. But I think that's, you know, over time, I think that's what poses the biggest risk economically, albeit, you know, two years down the road.
Greg, is the President Trump's tax plan that was unveiled months ago, is that actually helping the economy as he predicted?
That's hard to say. I mean, it's providing a little bit of juice to the economy this year. I think the question is, you know, how long does that extend? I mean, there's a lot of skepticism that, you know, it's kind of a shot in the arm now, but, you know, that there's, you know, not something that's going to give us a permanent boost economically. You know, time will tell. I mean, you have seen some growth in wages as a result, seen a lot of stock buybacks and a lot of dividend increases. So, you know, investors are liking it, but how widespread the benefit is, the jury's still out.
Greg, thanks so much. Greg McBride, Chief Financial Analyst for Bankrate.com in Florida. Coming up, your child has the grades to get into college. Now all you need is the money. We'll continue our Education Week segments coming up.
Loaning useful information each weekday. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It is Education Week here on the WBBM Noon Business Hour, sponsored by Huntington Learning Center and St. Xavier University. College requires more than just good grades. It takes lots of money. We're talking about financial aid with Sue Swisher, Executive Director of Financial Aid at St. Xavier University here in Chicago. Sue, welcome back to the program. Tell us, first of all, is it easier to find financial aid these days than it used to be?
Oh, I think it's still, you know, it's still tough for a lot of students as they go through the process. The main thing is that they've got to fill out the financial aid form, and a lot of students forget to do that. But that was the main thing that they need to do every year so that they get the maximum consideration for financial aid.
That's that FAFSA form that seems so overwhelming to a lot of students and parents.
Right. And that becomes available October 1 of every year, so gives students a good jump ahead of time before school enrolls to get their application in.
For someone who's not so financially savvy about doing it, are there places where you can get help filling those out?
Oh, definitely. You know, the main thing is to work with some of the colleges and universities that the students are interested in pursuing. They have staff on campus that will sit down and walk students through the process so that they're not intimidated by that application.
What are the most used forms of funding that you look at?
Most used forms of funding would be, of course, you know, you have your grants and scholarships, schools in the state of Illinois. If you're going to a state school, there's the Illinois MAP grant. On the federal level, you have the federal Pell Grant, which is a grant for students with financial need. And then, you know, obviously the colleges and universities also offer additional scholarships and grants of their own. So that would be the main thing. Then along with that, there are student loan opportunities that the students can take out or parents can borrow in their behalf, and then also student employment opportunities.
And as the students their final year of high school are looking at different colleges where they would like to study, when do you get into the forms and the applications? At what point?
The forms and the applications, they should be thinking about that the fall, before the fall, the upcoming fall that they plan to attend. Because usually that period between the fall and up to May 1, where most students make their decision, they want to get their application in so that they have sufficient time to get their award letter and make the determination whether or not they can, enroll at that institution.
You know, we always hear stories about students who get out of college so saddled with debt because they took out so many loans. Mm-hmm. Any advice for students on how not to fall into the trap?
I think, what they really do, I recommend them sitting down, working with the financial aid offices so that they can go over what types of, aid that they have. I mean, a lot of times students, I think they borrow too much. The main thing is that they should just borrow what they need to get through the, until graduation, so that they aren't saddled with too much debt. Some of them, once they get their bachelor's, they may want to go on and pursue their master's, and that, can be costly as well.
Sue, thanks for joining us today. Good information. Sue Swisher is Executive Director of Financial Aid at St. Xavier University here in Chicago. And we are going to check the markets in just a moment. WBBM News Time, 12:25. Let's take a look at the markets and business news sponsored by Shop Your Bank. And here is Elisa Peretti.
Chris, the Dow is higher by 57 points or 0.25%. NASDAQ gaining 47 or 0.67%. S&P higher by 11 points. For the week, we are narrowly mixed, literally not moving more than 0.2% in either direction here on this Wednesday. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is higher by almost 1% today. Amazon is rolling out Whole Foods discounts at Florida stores today, and everyone else will get them this summer. You've got to download the Whole Foods app and sign into your Amazon Prime account, and then scan the app at checkout. Apparently, you'll get discounts of 10% on many items, deeper discounts on some. Those discounts could help cushion the increase in Amazon Prime's membership price hike that starts this month, going from $99 to $119 a year. We've got crude oil futures lower by just 0.25%, but above $71, $71.12. Now we've got a check of the grains markets. For that, we turn to Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
Beans are leading the way down on worries about China trade and also good weather. We have July's down 15¾ at 10.03. November's down 12¼ at 10.12½. Beans for December down 2½ on 4.16¾. And July wheat unchanged at 4.93½. Lower corn and beans. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thanks, Pete. With business at 25 and 55. Live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Regine Schlesinger.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. Coming up on the Noon Business Hour,
Macy's reporting a good financial quarter.
Cost of higher education. We're hearing some ideas for making college affordable.
Amazon jumps into the grocery store business without checkout lines and with a discount for its premium members.
News we are watching. Commuter trains are shut down as police investigate a suspicious package at the Ogilvy station.
Donald Trump Jr. defends his actions at a meeting with Russians.
Wall Street, the Dow up 70, the NASDAQ up by 48, and the S&P 500 up by 12.
Very nice weather in Chicago at 75 degrees now, headed for 80. WBBM News Time 12:31. The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank.
And we're talking with Art Hogan, Chief Market Strategist at B. Riley FBR in New York City. Art, welcome back to the Noon Business Hour. We saw a headline that Macy's had a pretty good earnings. This is something that we don't see very often.
Now, it's been a while since we've seen a positive reaction to earnings in Macy's and the other department stores as well. So it's interesting that we get a little bit of a pop. This is the tag end of earnings season. It's the late reporters, and we hear from some of the department stores, some of the consumer-facing names. And it's interesting that we got retail sales yesterday, and they were pretty strong. They were strong the month before and were revised higher. So we know the consumer's alive and well. It's just a function of, you know, are they going back to the department store, and are the department stores getting their square footage right? And Macy's is working really hard on right-sizing, making it experiential, and doing a good job of rationalizing the amount of real estate they're using. So I think it's a bit of a turn in the department stores, and we're pretty favorably inclined in that direction.
And Macy's is adopting technology features also.
Yeah, it certainly is, and everyone's trying to get better at that, right? So it's the experience when you're there, but it's the experience of ease, the ease of being able to order online, pick up in the store, you know, having that omnipresence such that you can, you know, have a brick and mortar and be online. So it's you know, the general, in general, retail has been slow to adopt that, but has been forced to adopt that because of Amazon. And you're seeing a lot of stores doing much better at that. Best Buy is a great example of transitioning and doing a better job. But yeah, the retail sector is certainly exciting today and has been for most of this year.
Art, looking at the markets overall, over the last couple of weeks, we've seen some stability come back in, and it seems like they're bouncing back. Do you think the correction that we had is over?
Feels like it. You know, we had a great deal of volatility heading into the first quarter of this year. We had a quick ramp up that sold off abruptly when we had some fears of inflation and higher interest rates. And then we settled back in and then got concerned about trade policy mistakes. So it was either monetary policy or trade policy mistakes. And I think that both of those are, you know, in the headwind category, but less so. And I think that when the yields on the 10-year move above 3 significantly in a rapid fashion like they did yesterday, we get concerned that it's going to be a freight train. When they move up gently like they do today, we get less concerned about that. We've got a Fed that wants to raise 2 or 3 more times this year. We've got a spread between the 10-year and the 2-year that is broadening today. So we're actually seeing the yield on the 10-year go up and the yield on the 2-year go down. That's a positive. So I think the biggest concerns we have in the marketplace right now are trade tensions. And if we can get some good news on that front, whether that's NAFTA or with China, I certainly think this market's got a lot more room to grow. Understanding the S&P just said 26% earnings growth, it is only up 1.5% this year.
The yield on the 10-year is now above 3%. Is that going to be high enough anytime soon to kind of divert some of the money from the stock market from those investors who are maybe a little more risk-averse?
No, but I think you're much more concerned about the pace at which it rises than the ultimate level. I think we could you know, see a 2.75, 3.25 range for the 10-year this year, and that would be fine. You just don't want to have those 10 basis point or 12 basis point moves in a single day. That's when investors get nervous. I think that you get concerned about money getting drawn back into fixed income away from equities when you're in the sort of 4 to 4.5% range. But I'm much more concerned about the pace at which we get there and or the flattening of the yield curve. When that steepens, we're in better shape. When that gets flat, that risks a lot of things, not the least of which is a slowdown in economic activity.
Art, based on the economic conditions that you just remarked about, what would your guess be on investing? What areas would you want to take a look at now?
Yeah, well, clearly we're in a rising interest rate environment, and you know, whether it's driven by the Fed or driven by economic activity, it's driven by both right now. We're going to see a modicum of inflation this year that we didn't see last year. I would say that you want to be careful with those investments that are equities that look like bonds. So, you know, that includes the utilities and staples, to a certain extent, the real estate investment trusts. Those are the dividend darlings that have done so well over the last 6 years when there was a big search for yield. When there is yield available in a safety trade, which is the U.S. 10-year, those sectors don't do well. What does well in a rising interest rate environment? The financials. I certainly think the energy complex is going to do very well this year, and technology is relatively agnostic to a rising interest rate environment. So I would say in that order, you want to look at financials, you want to look at energy stocks, and certainly look at technology stocks that aren't as affected by a rising interest rate environment.
Art, always good talking with you. Art Hogan, Chief Market Strategist at B. Riley FBR in New York City. When we come back, college affordability, where to look for those hard-to-find education dollars.
A wallet full of information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
We continue our Education Week theme now on the WBBM Noon Business Hour. Your child needs more than just a letter of acceptance for college. There are questions you should ask about affordability even before the application process. We're talking about it with Frank Palmisani, college affordability and financial aid expert and a college counselor at Providence Catholic High School in New Lenox. He's also the author of the book, Right College, right price. Frank, thanks very much for being with us. When your child starts deciding which schools they want to go to, how do you decide if those are affordable for you? What's the best way to figure that out?
Well, that's a huge question and a very important question. One of the things that it's been my experience that families often don't even know how to assess their own affordability. It's really a comprehensive analysis of tax credit eligibility, cash flow, potentially what they've put aside in savings, and maybe reasonable parent borrowing. But once you get to that level, then what it really comes down to trying to determine, how can I get an understanding of my net price, not what the college list is a sticker price, because nearly everyone gets some discounts today, scholarships, grants. So how do I get an understanding of my net price? And then being able to find those schools that match that affordability, that don't put you in a position of excessive borrowing, which, as everyone knows, is a huge concern.
It's got to be a tough conversation, though, to have with your child if they've got their heart set maybe on one of the Ivy Leagues or one of the pricier schools, for you to tell them, we just can't do it.
You know, it's really a good point and a great question that you pose. And one of the things that I talk to families about today is, how do you get your child on board in all of this? We've developed this design, if you can imagine this circle, and it's an integrated circle of three facets: the academic aspects of the college decision, the feel aspects, you know, the social, the cultural aspects, and the financial. When all three of these areas come together, that's when you know you have the right choice. So you don't want to alienate your child in the beginning by suggesting to them you can't apply here or can't apply here. But what we want to do is be able to look at the financial piece and say it's okay to apply to financial reaches, as long as you don't just apply to financial reaches. Because understand, we need to have financial fits, places we can't afford, and also financial backups. And then hopefully, if they see the importance of the integration of all three of these areas, in the end, they'll come to realize they don't want to have the burden of excessive borrowing. The short-term benefit of, I get to go to the college I want, but the long-term deficit, substantial student borrowing. I mean, the numbers right now are staggering. We're looking at this, you know, a combination of student borrowing and parent borrowing that is now over $70,000. So, you know, what's reasonable in a family? That determination's got to be made early on.
We had experiences in my family where one college counselor was all over it for my sons, you know, talking about which colleges and scores and all of that. The high school where my daughter went was not all over it, and we had to really do a lot of stuff ourselves. So you have a very important job as a college counselor at Providence.
One of the things that I think has really changed, I've been involved in this for over 40 years as an educator, and one of the things that's just drastically changed is I really don't know how anyone can do college counseling today without the parents' involvement. We're so fortunate in the school that I work at that we're able to bring every junior family together, parents and student together, in small groups. So we do it in groups of four. We have four families in the morning and four in the afternoon every day in the months of February and March. And that really gives us an opportunity to develop a framework and an understanding of the big picture, and then work individually with that family as to the best fit. So, you know, those kinds of opportunities are so critical today, because to be able to do college counseling today with just the student, I often think that, you know, so much of the information gets missed. And then the other part of it is how sophisticated are they really in the financial aspect? They don't have the understanding, the expertise, the experience to be able to handle these financial matters. So it really has to, we have to get the parents involved. And we're fortunate. I work at a school that believes in this, and we're able to do it as early as junior year.
Frank, thanks so much. Frank Palmisani, college affordability and financial aid expert, college counselor at Providence Catholic High School in New Lenox. And you can find out more in his book, Right College, Right Price. WBBM News Time 12:45. We'll check traffic and weather. And still ahead, Amazon, a couple of changes for it. It's going to have no more long checkout lines at some of its stores, and also some perks for its Prime members.
Cash, credit, debit, and totally free. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
And this portion of the news is sponsored by Geiger Wealth.
And taking a look at some changes in the retail grocery market, Amazon is coming up with a couple of things that are going to be making a different experience for shoppers. Plans to open a grocery store here in Chicago with no checkout lines, and its Whole Foods stores will be offering discounts to Prime customers. We're talking about it with Phil Lempert, founder of SupermarketGuru.com in Los Angeles. Phil, are these game changers, as Amazon often does?
Yes. As you and I have spoken about this since the day that Amazon took over Whole Foods, it's changing the entire strategy, if you would, of every supermarket. Now, what's interesting about Amazon Go coming to Chicago, and supposedly it's going to be in the Thompson Center building or near it, in Seattle, Amazon Go is about 1,800 square foot, and they have a lot of fresh foods. Now, the lease that's been signed here in Chicago is only for 625 square foot. So it's obviously going to be a much smaller footprint. But this is the store that you can go in. There's no cashier. You just, you know, scan your barcode off your phone, you walk in, you take the items, you put it in a bag, and you walk right out. And we're also going to see one in San Francisco. As we predicted probably when Amazon Go was first opened to the public, we're probably going to see 5,000 or 6,000 of these stores over the next 10 years across the nation. And also, to your earlier point, Amazon Prime now giving even more discounts. You know, a couple months ago they announced if you get an Amazon Prime Visa card, you'd get 5% off everything that you buy at Whole Foods. Well, now they're saying that the Prime members, all they've got to do is download an app, get an additional 10% off hundreds of different sale items in Whole Foods, and that they're going to have special deals every week. So clearly what Amazon has done is they're getting rid of that whole paycheck image really quickly, and it's attracting a lot of other people to go into Whole Foods that typically have not. And for Amazon, this is really important because they have about 80% of their Prime members who do not shop at Whole Foods. So that's about 38 million consumers who have yet to walk into a Whole Foods store. So the potential is huge.
How exactly does this work? Are we sure that the technology is going to be able to get the reading on how much we're spending?
Absolutely. There's no question about it. That's why it was delayed for about a year, you know, after they first announced that it was going to open. And it's a combination, you know, they're not really willing to tell anybody how it works, but it's a combination of cameras. It is not an RFID chip. Now, the reality is that once RFID chips come down, oh, probably below a tenth of a cent, and they're actually embedded in every package in the supermarket, then it becomes foolproof technology. There are some reports that Amazon Go in Seattle that kids have actually tricked it. They take an item off the shelf and then put it back on the shelf and then take another item. So it's probably not 100% accurate, but it's certainly good enough.
Phil, thanks so much for being with us. Phil Lempert is founder of SupermarketGuru.com in Los Angeles. And you can find past programs later today, a podcast of this hour at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the all-news new radio.com app.
WBBM News Time at 12:55. And this portion of the news is sponsored by Leapfrog Technology Group. Here's Elisa Peretti.
Chris, the Dow is now higher by 73 points or more than 0.25%. NASDAQ up 51 or 0.75%. S&P is advancing 13 points, good for a gain of 0.5%. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is gaining almost 1%. Macy's says a winning formula of brick and mortar plus digital helped it beat sales estimates in the latest quarter and achieve its second straight quarter of sales growth. Amazon is making it easier to pay with the change you've been collecting or any cash you might have on hand. Amazon Cash is now one of the options at Coinstar kiosks. It's aimed at customers who don't have credit cards or don't feel comfortable shopping online with one. With business at 25 and 55. Live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago. WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.